Okay. So Haftarah for Parshas Korach is Yevchomesh or Tanach or anything. Korach is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Shmuel Bet, that's not helpful. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, through Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Chaf Bet. Okay. Fine. So the context here is the request of the Jewish people for a king. Right. So let's quickly run through the text here, and then we'll talk about it. Okay. So so he said, okay. So let's set up the king in Gilgal. Vayachuchol amal Gilgal v'emlichu shemesh Shaul. Lifnei Adonai v'Gilgal v'esbichu sham zvachim shlomim lifnei Adonai v'esmach sham Shaul v'chanshei Yisrael ad me'od. Okay. Now, the background to this is that they first asked that they wanted a king, and Shmuel was not a fan of this at all. Right? If you look back at where does it start? In Perek Chet. In Perek Chet, it says, right, Vahi kasher zaken Shmuel v'yasem es benav shavtim l'Yisrael, Vahi shem benav b'chor yoel, v'shem v'shinu aviyah, shavtim v'yashava, lo chuv anav b'drachah, v'yitu acharei abatsa, v'yekhu shochad, v'yatu mishpat. And so the king, the sons of Shmuel did not follow his ways. They accepted bribes, they subverted justice. So v'yiskapsu, kol zeknei Yisrael, v'yavoh el Shmuel ramasa, v'yamru elav, hine ata zakanta, v'nechel lo chuv b'drachecha, ata simu lanu melech l'shavtinu k'chol agoyim. Said, you've grown old, and your children haven't gone in your ways, so appoint us a king like everybody else. Ve'irad avar b'nei Shmuel, kasher amru tananu lanu melech l'shavtinu, v'yispelel Shmuel al Adonai. So Shmuel, this was bad for Shmuel, he didn't like it. So he dove into Hashem. Ve'yamru Adonai el Shmuel, shma b'kol ha'am, v'chol asher yomru elecha, ki lo ozcha ma'asu, ki osi ma'asu, mimloch aleihem. Listen to what they said, because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, which is not really a great defense, but okay. Because just like they've forsaken me since I took them out of Mitzrayim, and they've worshipped idols, that's what they're doing to you. But listen to what they're doing and give them a king. Right? So that's and so Shmuel warns them. He said a king will be bad. He'll appoint everyone into his service. He'll be abusive. And they said, no, we want a king. We want a king like all the other nations. So now in Pasuk Yud Bet is where we actually appoint the king. So Perek Yud Bet. I'm going to appoint a king for you. And I've grown old, but my sons are still with you. And now testify to me, whose animal have I taken? Who have I harmed? You haven't oppressed us. You haven't taken bribes. They said, testify that I haven't done anything wrong. They said, we testify.
So that was right. He could have done. It's like Moshe,
so 1 second, right?
He could have taken it.
We'll get to this. We'll come back to the parallels. And we'll just get the story down. Okay, so now... right, so now he says them. Yom Shmuel Amadonai Asher Asaz Moshe Vesaron Shelo Asa Ozechem and Tzvayim Batoy Satzvu Veshavtat Itchem Lufnei Adonai Vizkolz Itzkolz Anai Asher Asa Itchem Asa Ozechem. And now he goes through everything. that God has done for them, all the kindnesses. Kasher by Yaakov Mitzrayim, the Kavzei Chem Lodonai Vishlach Lodonai is Moshe Ben Saron, Vitzir Savo Seichem Mitzrayim by Yishiv by Yishiv Makom Azeh by Yishkechu Zanai Lehem by Mkorosam Biad Sisra Shadul Chatzor Biad Pulishim Biad Melech Moav Ben Chulbam Vizaku Al Adonai Ben Ruch Hatanu Ki Azav Nuz Adonai Ben Avodet Baalim Vez Asheros Vata Atzilenu Biad Avinu Ben Avdech Vishlach Lodonai Yishiru Baal Vizbidon Vizitach Vizshmuel Vizel Zchem Biad Avichem Yisaviv Vizishvu Betach. Right, he summarizes the history from the time of Mitzrayim and basically the Shoftim cycle, right, where they sinned, they didn't recognize the goodness of God, God lets them be conquered, they cry out to God, he saves them. He's obviously one of those Shoftim. Vatiru kinachash melech bnei Amon ba'aleichem adjumili lo kimelechim lo chalinu adonai aleichem alkechem. And now you come and say, right, we want a king. Vatayne amelech asher b'chartem asher shaltem v'hinei nasan adonai aleichem melech. Here's your king. Im tiru adonai v'avatem v'osho shmatem v'kol v'otam ruas pe adonai v'yisem gam atem v'gam amelech asher malach aleichem achar adonai aleichem v'im lo shishmu v'kol adonai v'yisem pe adonai v'yisa yad adonai b'ochem v'avazeichem. So now look, I didn't want you to have a king, but you have a king. Listen to him. If you don't, God will strike you down. And he said, now that you have your king, let me just prove to you that what you asked for was incorrect, because now it's the middle of the summer and it's going to rain. And as you know, that is not normal, and it freaks everybody out when it happens, as it did several times this summer already. So he makes it rain. They get there afraid. They say, "Daven to Hashem to save us." But don't fear, serve God, don't turn away from him, and he won't abandon you. Okay, so that's the story, right? It's the background of them having asked for a king. Shmuel didn't like it, and now he actually gives them a king, and after he's gotten them to confirm that he was a good leader, he gives them the history. You were horrible people. You shouldn't have asked for a king. That was rebellion against God. Proves that by bringing the rain. In the summer, they get scared. He says, okay, but now that you have a king, listen, and it all will be fine. Okay, that's the summary. Now, why is this Haftorah four parshas? Korach. Right, so Korach, Bigadol, is a story about a rebellion against
authority.
So, let's see, right? This Haftorah actually sheds a lot of light. It's a challenge against the leader. Now, yeah, exactly, right? It's a challenge which is against Moshe, right? It's directly against Aaron, but it's really against Moshe, right? I mean, that's how it's framed, right? Against, right? Korach says to Moshe, right? Why did you, right?
Make it like this.
Right? The particular, right? The way, right, Chazal understand it, right, is that he was really upset that Korach was upset he didn't get the job of Itamar. But the point being is he's challenging Aaron's leadership, by which he's really challenging Moshe's leadership, right? But really what he's doing is he's challenging God's leadership, right? And that's the story of Bigadol of Korach, right? And Moshe's response is a double response, which is, right, I mean, he responds first of all, obviously, to the political and the religious threat, right? With Korach, Das, and Aviram being the political threat, and the 250 people with the Ktoras being the religious threat. Now he takes this obviously as affront to God, and also at some level, as it is, an affront to himself, right? He doesn't really express it here, but at the end, right, we see he does defend himself. At some level, right, I don't know, you don't really see the personality come out.
No, with the whole Hashem Shalachani,
right, I mean, right, you see a little bit, but you see a little bit, right? You see that it's primarily for God, right, but he is fighting for his own honor as well, right? He says, you will know that God didn't send me, right? And in order to prove it, he creates a new Bria, but basically he performs a miracle, Right, and you got the same thing going on here. Right, you have Shmuel is at one level defending the honor of God, at the other level, we'll come back to this in just a second, defending his own honor, and then to prove that some that the people have sinned, performs a miracle, they're afraid, etc. Okay? Fine. Now, at some level, one of the differences, though, is that I think by Moshe, the feeling you get is that whose honor is he defending primarily? God's, right? That Korach criticizes Aaron, which is really criticizing Moshe, is really criticizing God, right? Of the way God told Moshe to set up the leadership structure. Now, given they're specifically attacking Moshe, and that is the response, that even though they're attacking Aaron, Moshe says, right, after the miracle happens, you'll know that Hashem sent me. Right, but you don't get the feeling this is personal, right? It's, right, he's confirming that God told him to do what he said, but there isn't, you don't see his personality coming out of that, right? To the point where, obviously, at the end, right, of the Torah, Hashem just says he's the most honorable of them. You don't see his personal honor coming out. By Shmuel, that's really not the case, right? And this is striking if you look at Perichet, right, where we looked before, is that, right, if you look at Pasuk Vav in Perichet, Vayirad Avar Beinei Shmuel Kasher Amru Tanan Lomech L'Shavteinu, and Shmuel says, it says that Shmuel, it was bad in Shmuel's eyes. All right, but now what is Hashem's response? By Yomer Adonai Yel Shmuel, Shema v'kol ha'am l'chol asher yomru eilecha, ki lo scham asu ki osim asu mim lo chalayim. Don't, it shouldn't be bad. You shouldn't be upset. Why? Rejected me, not you.
Which is nice to you.
Right? Which, what's God saying? What's clear that God's saying at some level?
Saying it's well,
it was against Hashem.
That it was away against God, but what's he saying to Shmuel? Right? Why was Shmuel upset? He's saying, don't be upset.
It's not in you.
It's not in you, but what does that imply? That part of why Shmuel was getting upset was because it was the personal affront, right?
Yeah, but chances are...
he perceived it as a personal
affront. Yeah, he received it, but if you look again... But then if you look at Perek Yud Bet in our Haftarah... Right, but if you look at Perek Yud Bet...
Protective of God and thought
that... Yeah, but look at Perek Yud Bet. Natanel. Look at Perek Yud Bet, right? Where do we start? So now when Shmuel says to them, okay, here's your king. Vani zakanti vashavti... Right, I've gotten old and my sons are still with you. And I've been with you. Right? And did I defraud anyone? Right? No. But what's the implication?
It's like, you think I did.
I didn't defraud you.
But you think I did.
But you think I did, and that's why you're not taking my kids. Right. But what did the Psukim say in Perichet?
That God rejected them.
That God didn't want the kids because they were corrupt. But that tells you that at some level, as big a tzaddik as Shmuel is, and he really was, right? He wasn't capable of seeing the flaws in his own children. Right? So he didn't realize that the reason they didn't want his children, right? It's clear. Right?
At the time, other people didn't know that Shmuel's kids had been rejected, then they rejected.
No, look. Look, Perichet, Pasuk Dalet. Vayiskapsu, Kozik Nezrav, Vayavel Shmuel Ramasa, Vayam Ruilav, Hinei Atazakanto, Vanecho Lolchu Bidrachecha. Right? We're not rejecting you. We're rejecting your kids because they're not as yasher as you are. And Shmuel doesn't get it, right? In Perichet Vedic, he says, I was honest and my kids are still with you, but you wanted a king. Right? So, there is a contrast here. This is pointed out by Rabbi Chaim Angel, and I think very compellingly, right? The third time you actually see this, just very quickly, is that fine? Shmuel doesn't want a king. But once he has a king, so then what?
They have to take it.
He tells me I have to take it. But once he chooses Shaul, so what's his relationship with Shaul? He loves Shaul. He's his protege, right? And then when Hashem says that
I reject Shaul.
So what does he say?
He cries all night.
He cries all night. And what does Hashem say to him? Where is it?
Da-da-da.
I know. Well, wait one second. Where is it? It's... Yeah, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Aleph. Well, actually, the last pasuk in Perek Tesvav first. V'lo yosav Shmuel arose to Shaul ad yom boso ki sabel Shmuel el Shaul v'adonai nicham kim licha Shaul Israel. He was mourning v'yom radonai Shmuel ad mosai tamis abel el Shaul v'ani ma'astiv mim locha Israel malei karnach Hashem and v'lecha shachol yishai beis alachmin kareisi b'vanav limelech. What are you still crying about? I've rejected him. Right, so once Shaul, he chooses Shaul, Shmuel gets wrapped up in Shaul. He's his protege. He doesn't like seeing, right? And then, right, he goes to that to the house of Yishai, and he goes, and what does he do?
He picks
Eliav. Don't pick him and look at his height. And the Radak says, what does it mean, look at his height? Right?
It looks like Shaul.
Right? He was so wrapped up in his protege, he sees Eliav, who physically is the same stature. He's tall, right? Shaul described as taller than anyone else. And here's Eliav, who's also just stop looking at for Shaul again, right? So you actually have this pattern where Shmuel, as great a leader as he is, is a little bit, right? Doesn't realize that Toch Kedei, his claim that he's defending God's honor, is defending his honor just as much, right? So you do have that contrast, right? Where by Moshe you get the feeling that he is rejecting Korach purely because he recognizes himself as a shliach of God, right? And he takes it, right? He's the messenger of God, right? So he has to say, right? Korach is challenging Moshe's message that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. But if you listen to the language of Moshe throughout Parshas Korach, it's what did Aaron ever do to you, right? It's not what did I do. It's what did Aaron do to you, right? And we'll do this miracle, and you'll see that God sent me to choose Aaron. But he's standing up for the message. He's standing up that God sent me. Aaron is the correct person. You'll know that. You'll know who's Kadosh. But it's not me. He's standing up for the message of God, right? Shmuel. But there's a contrast for Shmuel. He is standing up for God, right? Meaning it's not like Shmuel's wrong, right? Hashem is saying, don't get that angry. They're only rejecting me, right? Shmuel got that right. They are rejecting God, right? But there is that mix where Moshe is only defending the message. He's defending God. And Shmuel is defending himself too, right? So you get that contrast. On the other hand, the similarity is obviously very strong, right? That there is this challenge to leadership. And the solution to it is the miracle.
And it's Derech Agav on God.
What?
And Derech Agav, they get God through the leader.
Right, of course. Now, there's obviously other differences, right? In the Shmuel story, right? In the end of the day, despite the fact that it's a sort of rebellion against God, God acquiesces and says, "But take it. Right? You can have a king." But now let's make the best of a bad situation, so to speak, and follow, follow God, and the king should follow God, and follow the king, and it all will be good. Now this, ambivalence, right, where he lets them have a king, but he's angry about it, right, is what leads to the big machlokes in the Mefarshim, already in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the second parak, and then in the Mefarshim, most famously the Rambam taking one position, the Abarbanel the other, but right. Really, it's most Rishonim, whatever it is, whether or not there's a mitzvah to have a king, right? This ambivalence is created here, right? Is a king an ideal or not? But
I thought maybe
the Rambam says yes.
No,
there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Reb Yehuda and Reb Nechemya, and then that is followed the halacha. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, and the Rambam says obviously we have a chiyuv to have a king. Sort of most Rishonim, I think. The Barmanel says not that way. There's no mitzvah to have a king. Hashem was angry because they wanted a king. So Tassim Alachim Melech says, if you have a king, this is how you should treat him.
Right.
Of course, there are different. Ruchem Fischer Perla, in his Peirush on Rusadjagon, actually claims the majority of Rishonim follow the Abarbanel's position that there's no mitzvah to have a king. He has a list there. You can look and see if it's compelling or not. Traditionally, it's considered that that's the minority position, but again, this ambivalence is created here.
You were to say, let's have a king, but not to say,
no, again, so that's Machlokes Rishonim. The Abarbanel lists it. You can look in the Abarbanel. There's
that's,
a list.
In theory, that's the reason not to let it happen.
There's a Machlokes in the Rishonim what the sin was. Was it that there shouldn't be a king at all? Or there should be a king, but not now because they were rejecting Shmuel, right? They were rejecting political leadership and spiritual leadership in favor of religious leadership. Or was it because they wanted it because they wanted to be a Kachal HaGoyim? There's a whole machlokes rishonim about what it is. But for our purposes, the point is that there is some sort of ambivalence here, right? Where there's a challenge to God, but not such an affront that in the end God gives in and he just tries to do damage control. Again, whether it was you shouldn't have a king at all, you shouldn't have a king now, the point is that there's a tension, right, that you b'chol don't have in Korach. In Korach, it's chad mashmai. It's Moshe is the leader, Aaron is going gadol, right? Stop challenging. You get swallowed up by the earth. We move on. The people continue challenging. God sends a plague. Right. So, in that sense, the stories are very different. But again, I think this story, right, the reason is picked, I think, is clear. Right. In both cases, you have this challenge to leadership, and you have a response, a miraculous way of proving. It doesn't hurt that Chazal see Shmuel and Moshe as equivalent in many ways. They didn't make that up. Who made that up? Tehillim, right? Tehillim, right? Right? Moshe Aaron Mechala Nabu Shmuel B'Karei Shemo. Right? There is that sort of parallel. Chazal's famous phrase is, right? Right? Chazal famously Darshan, based on the list over here, that's Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel, right? And Yerubal and Bedan Yiftach, that the Torah was Mashveh, the Navi was Mashveh, Shalosh Gedolim, right? Shalosh Gedolim, can I get Shalosh Ketanim to teach you that Yiftach Bedoro, Shmuel Bedoro, right? So, what?
It's
a Rashi. It's a, I mean, Rashi quotes it, it's a Gemara. Megillah, I think, is that right? Maybe. I don't remember offhand. It's a. I'm not sure. And then, I don't remember. And then, the point being that Shmuel is a paradigmatic leader in the eyes of Chazal, like Moshe and Aaron. Right? So it doesn't hurt. It's not just a challenge to leadership, it's a challenge to Shmuel's leadership and right, him being equated with Moshe and Aaron, that combined leadership, which makes sense at some level. Right? He's both the political and the religious leader. In a way, Moshe and Aaron are together. But again, there are these differences that are also worth taking account of, where by Moshe the response, first of all, of God is, this is total rebellion. And Moshe seems to only be acting on behalf of God. Here, Shmuel's position is a little bit more ambivalent, and the response is more ambivalent, where it was a bad thing, but we're going to do it anyways. So the miracle accomplishes different things. Right here, the miracle accomplishes showing that they did it in the wrong way to try to give them musters that they'll now follow the king in the right way and do damage control, as opposed to there, where obviously it's punishing people and ensuring that Moshe's leadership remains unchallenged. Obviously, the last parallel, which you mentioned before, right, where Shmuel really is harking back to Moshe, is the Lelo Chamor Echad Lakachti, etc., which is Moshe's last speech, not last speech, but part of Moshe's last goodbye. Which is, did I take bribes? Did I hurt anybody? Would they say no? Right. So that obviously doesn't come up in Korach. In Korach, right, you actually have the opposite. That even after the miracle happened, the people say, "What are you, killing?" Right. So that's a contrast. But in terms of personalities, it's a comparison, right? That in the end of the day, even though there was a mistake, there was a lot of challenges to their leadership. In the end of the day, Shmuel's leadership, he may be stepping off the scene, but the people recognize that he was a good leader. And by Moshe, at the end of the day, they also admit that. Again, Moshe and Shmuel are similar, since then neither of their children follow in their path. So again, I think the Haftarah adds both through its comparison and contrast to the Parsha. This one is one of those where it's pretty clear why it was chosen. But there are multiple levels to it. I guess that's the end.